But first, after more than a month of rallying and protests, Arizona teachers voted for a strike to happen Thursday, April 26th. That was announced last night by the teachers' union and a grassroots educator group. KJZZ's Casey Kuhn was there. She joins me now. Casey, good morning.
Good morning.
So the teachers have been demanding a 20% raise. The governor gave it to them in a budget plan. Now they're still planning to strike. How did we get here?
So if we go back a little bit, we can see that when Arizona Educators United demanded a 20% raise along with restoring education funding at a Capitol rally in March, Governor Doug Ducey did come up with a plan right after. That plan is a 19% salary raise promise by 2020. It might have thrown the teachers a little bit for a loop because that reaction was certainly mixed among educators in general. Some groups and individuals did say this is a great start for more money into the poorly funded public school system. The organizers that decide these things, like a strike, though, rejected that offer. And here's what Noah Carvelis with Arizona Educators United said about it last night.
It became pretty clear to us pretty quickly that it wasn't a 20% raise, that it was a one-time raise, that there was nothing in it really for our pupils or our colleagues. So that to me looked to be deliberately confusing, deliberately vague.
And what they really want is not just pay raises for teachers, but also raises for support staff and also a fair way of restoring funding to all schools.
So the group said 78% of the teachers who voted in favor of the walkout. What's been the reaction overall from educators so far?
So 78% did vote for it, right? But that's not 90%. It's not unanimous. It was out of about 57,000 teachers and support staff. That's according to the groups, and these groups are mainly organized through social media like Facebook. And as you might expect with that about three quarter vote, the reactions are still mixed. Some teachers think the voting process wasn't transparent. I heard that others think the walkout is too soon. And still others do think it is time for a strike, which is how the vote went anyway. And still even others feel like they didn't know really what they were voting for when they were voting on those paper ballots, whether it was support for a walkout now or in the future. I asked Arizona Education Association President Joe Thomas about that transparency issue, and here's what he said.
Of course, if there's going to be any kind of plan they're going to be involved in, they're going to want to know every single step of that. And so there is a tension around that, and we understand it, but there are some of these pieces that are preparatory that you don't want to get out because it causes a larger panic than what you want. It can be misunderstood, and that's just a part of the tension in this movement.
And, it's kind of interesting that he acknowledges that tension at all because the message so far has been solidarity and unity. Of course, that was a majority vote who voted for this upcoming walkout.
So teachers are supporting the Red for Ed movement, bolstered, it seems, by efforts in West Virginia and Oklahoma. But West Virginia did get a raise. Oklahoma raised some teacher spending. How have the governor and lawmakers reacted to this announcement?
So, like you heard earlier, a lot of the teachers would say that they didn't really get what they wanted with the governor's plan. They want something that's more sustainable, and they think this is just a one-time kind of cash injection. But last night, the governor doubled down on that so-called 20 by 20 plan, since technically those raises would go up to 20% on average by 2020. He tweeted that no one wants to see teachers strike, the kids are the ones losing out, and that the 2020 plan is sustainable. Though some early budget reports do say that the plan would put the state in more than $250 million in the red. That all still has to get passed, considered by the legislature, which we've seen sort of suddenly come out. Some of them come out in support of education funding when that wasn't necessarily a huge priority early on before the protests. Other lawmakers are saying this could instigate some backlash in what's been a pretty supportive community. That is, after all, the way a lot of these groups were able to force the governor into a plan like that. So here's Noah Carvelis again talking about possible resistance.
You know, I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I recognize that that's a possibility for some folks, for sure. And so part of what we need to do now is respond. I mean, the governor put this out, and I think it was a politically savvy move because he said, here you go, you got your 20%.
But the whole point of pushing the walkout to next Thursday, the organizers did say, is to force the governor and other lawmakers to the table with them to get the plan fixed, and they hope not to actually have to strike.
So a strike could mean school closures, that's still to be seen. What are school districts doing to prepare for that possibility, especially so late in the school year?
Right, that's a good question. I think administrators are still working on that answer. I've asked a few, and that's basically what they said. We're still figuring it out. But some districts like Peoria Unified are keeping an up-to-date website with information for parents. They say they have plans in place if staffing levels dip, but could be forced to close the schools. If school closures happen, districts will have to extend their school year. And not to mention, this is a really crucial time for students. It's AP testing time, that's for college credits, a lot of review time, school's almost out, of course, which means graduations are coming up and need to be arranged, and not even to mention the hundreds of thousands of parents that would be affected. So we'll just have to see what happens before next Thursday.
From KJZZ's Education Desk, Casey Kuhn. Casey, thank you.
My pleasure.
For more on last night's vote to strike, we're joined in studio now by Derek Harris. He's an organizer with Arizona Educators United and a band teacher with the Tucson Unified School District. Derek, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
So Casey talked about some of the mixed reactions she's heard from educators. I would imagine that's pretty important, though, if you are, in fact, going to strike next week, that you need everybody pretty much on the same page, or as many people as possible on the same page, right?
Yes. Well, we do feel that it's important to have everybody involved in the process of planning and organizing anything that happens, you know, on the walkout. And it's important to remember that this is, kind of a mandate from educators, because 78% is a high number. I mean, that's not just, you know, middling simple majority stuff. But as far as our community goes, you know, we're going to be going out to the community and doing some outreach, try to inform them more about what is going on in the state of education in Arizona. And we know that they want what's best for their kids, and we want what's best for their kids, too. So I think we're going to be able to find common ground very easily.
What specifically would it take to avoid teachers leaving the classroom on Thursday?
I don't want to speculate about what sort of options might be put on the table. All I can say is that right now we haven't seen what we feel is the best for education in Arizona, what's best for our students and our colleagues. And we're really focused right now on preparing to express her voice in a strong way.
Do you have a sense of how long this might last? I mean, is there sort of an end game as to what it would take, for example, if you do strike next week, what it would take to end that?
Well, right now we're really focused on just, beginning the stages for this action. Last night was an amazing, incredible opportunity for us to hear educator voices across the state, you know, not just teachers, but also our custodial workers and our cafeteria managers and bus drivers express to us what they feel is good for them and our kids in the education system. So, you know, we're really focusing on that step and really trying to make sure that the next step is going to be well organized and prepared for that.
But do you have a sense, I mean, if a teacher came to you and said, okay, look, I'm prepared to strike on Thursday, but I'd like to know sort of what the plan is here. I mean, do you have an answer for that?
A lot of the plans are going to be distributed to our members through our, you know, kind of our leadership structure throughout the week, and trying to, you know, we want everyone to be up and involved as knowledgeable as possible about what the plan is going to be. We won't leave anyone in the dark as best we can. And a lot of districts are doing the preparations, in their more local area to take care of the bigger, more dramatic issues as far as, you know, how to take care of the students.
Tara, clearly there's a major point that educators are trying to make here, and it's a point that many people in the community support. So this is not a PR question. Hmm. This is a question, though, about folks who are underpaid, and going out on strike is a risk to them and their families, too. I want to talk about how daunting this is, because even if the vote is overwhelming, there's not a strike yet. How nervous are people about this generally? They're excited. They think they're on the right side, but there's also that human component of still supporting their families, even if they're underpaid at this point.
I can only speak for myself as far as a lot of the nervousness of things are. I've spoken to some of my colleagues too, and they've expressed some concerns. But for myself, I'm worried about my own. The next few weeks. I want to be sure that I'm going to be taken care of in my school district, that I'm going to be taken care of financially and whatnot. And I'm putting those plans in place for myself. But I also know that I would really like to see my kids be able to play on instruments that work. And I'd really like to see my kids be able to buy new music to play and be able to have our own classroom. Right now, I share my classroom with the cafeteria. Cafeteria workers are making lunch, and I'm trying to teach, and it's kind of a noisy environment, and we're doing the best we can.
Derek, quickly before we let you leave, what do you think the odds are that teachers are actually walking out on Thursday? I mean, do you think there's a chance that there could be a resolution before that?
Well, I think the 57,000 people that said that we're going to be doing this walkout are serious about that that commitment, and we'll just have to see how things go. So, we made our request last night, and we're going to stick with our plans for now.
All right, that's Derek Harris, an organizer with Arizona Educators United and a band teacher with the Tucson Unified School District. Derek, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And earlier this week, we spoke with Jonathan Perrone. He's a middle school teacher in the Washington Elementary School District in Phoenix and is involved in the Red for Ed movement there. We wanted to check back in with him now that the votes have been counted. And Jonathan, what do you think about the way the vote turned out?
Well, I think it sends a very clear message in a couple of ways. I think when you look at a situation where you're asking a group of people if they should have their pay increased, you might expect to see closer to 100% saying yes. But I think what this indicates is that this is a difficult decision for teachers. It's a very difficult decision to say, you know what we need for our students long-term is very important, and that there might be short-term issues with walking out and not being there for our students for that short period of time, but that the long-term gains in increasing public funding is really what's important.
What were the conversations like in your school among teachers who maybe were very much in favor or opposed to a strike, or some who maybe were on the fence about it?
Sure. And we definitely had the full spectrum. You know, we have some teachers who are very outwardly passionate about making this movement move forward. We have teachers who've been teaching for 20, 30 years, and they're in the position of saying, you know, this is a long time coming. And then we have teachers who are in their first year who are looking at the rest of their career and saying, I really want to do this. I just finished my education. But if it's not sustainable, then maybe it's not the right choice for me. And that's a scary thing for us as a school, because we can't constantly be bringing in new teachers. We want to hold on to them and have them become part of our family.
Now, when we spoke to you earlier in the week, you had talked about how maybe a single day of action would be the way to go, that one really big organized sort of show of force would be really effective. It doesn't sound like that's what the plan is here. Do you think that whatever it is that is planned here will be as effective as what you thought maybe one day would be?
You know, as I said earlier, I think that being united is the most important part. And I think that the way this is being laid out is done very well. There were talk about Friday, today, being a day of action, and a lot of people were concerned, like, no, we need to give parents notice. We need to give districts and schools notice so that they can be prepared, and that is the way that this ended up rolling out. I think having the first day of action being on a Thursday, with the possibility of having a day of action Thursday and Friday, and then a lot of it depends on what the response is. You know, as was mentioned last night during the press conference, they're looking for an opportunity to engage in dialogue, to engage in a negotiation over what is the best way to move forward. The current plan that's been proposed is short-sighted and short-termed, and we need a longer, more lasting a way to fund education.
Well, so then, in your mind at least, what would be sort of the end game here? I mean, let's say that nothing changes between now and Thursday and teachers are not in the classroom on Thursday of next week. Would it just take a meeting with the governor's office to bring teachers back to the classroom, at least for a short time? I mean, what do you think might be the way that this action ends?
I think that's definitely the first step. It's not just to sit down, but to sit down in a fruitful manner and have a conversation where both parties are willing to move forward on a plan of some sort. We understand that this problem, this crisis that we're sitting in, has been forming over a decade, and that it's not going to be solved in a single day. So the whole purpose is to at least know that we're sitting down and we're discussing the way forward. And so, yeah, I think it starts with a conversation. It starts with sitting down and saying, we hear you, we see you, and we understand that this is a problem that needs to be addressed.
Do you get the sense, and I know it's, you know, fairly early in the day yet, but do you get the sense that 100% of the teachers in your school will not be in the classroom next Thursday?
You know, I don't think it'll ever be 100% for a variety of reasons. We have teachers who have used all of their sick or general leave time due to health issues and family concerns, and they're very much with us in spirit, but teachers really can't afford to go without pay if they don't have a sick or a leave day to take. And so they'll be at school on those days if the school is open. And there are other teachers who feel like this isn't the best way forward, and that's okay too. I think it's extremely important that we remain united and that we're not showing any signs of infighting over who's supporting the movement and who's not. We're all educators. We all support the end game of taking care of our children and paving the way forward for them. And how we get there may not be the same path, but we're all in it together.
Do you have any measure of optimism that this can be avoided, that there can be some meaningful conversation between now and next Thursday that would lead to teachers not walking out of their classrooms on Thursday?
That's you know, we've said from the beginning, whether it was, you know, we don't want to strike, but we will, or we don't want to walk out, but we will, all of these terms are not just slogans on a sticker. They're the truth. Teachers wouldn't be in their classrooms if they didn't want to be there. The job is too hard. And it takes too much out of us for it to be something you take on lightly. And I think you see that with the turnover in the profession. So if there's any way for us to move forward without having to get to that point, that would be our first choice. And it always has been.
All right. Jonathan Perrone teaches in the Washington Elementary School District in Phoenix. He's also been active in the Red for Ed movement in his district. Jonathan, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
And in a pair of tweets last night, Governor Ducey says, "No one wants to see teachers strike. If schools shut down, our kids are the ones who lose out. We've worked side by side with the education community to develop a sustainable plan to give teachers a 20% raise by 2020. I am committed to getting teachers this raise and am working to get this passed at the legislature. We need teachers teaching and kids learning." End tweet.